Brought to you by Big Comedy Network.
You're listening to Pillow Fight, a comedy and culture podcast hosted by me, Yamini Nambimadam. I've invited a guest or two to come and gossip like we're at a high school slumber party. We'll start off with a little game of Fuck, Marry, Kill, where the choices are buzzworthy moments in pop culture. Then we'll move into a couple rounds of Would You Rather based on world news. From there, we'll finish the night off with some juicy truth or dare. Feel free to grab a friend and play along in this Pillow Fight.
Pillow Fight, Pillow Fight.
This yours made of goose.
We got feathers flying everywhere.
Mine's made of goose.
Pillow Fight, Pillow Fight.
This is so fun.
Pillow Fighting.
Why is this so fun?
Pillow Fight.
Today on Pillow Fight, I'm joined by Jo Blankson. You might know her as Cowboy Praxis on Twitter, but she's also an incredible and hilarious human being. We overlapped in college for 2 years and did some comedy together during that time. Now, Jo hosts her own online comedy show called Breakout Room with her friends Ann Lim and Leva Pierce. They're always looking to feature young, fresh, cool, hip, college-aged comedians, so check it out. A little fun fact about Jo is that she's a pre-med, which blew my mind when I found out because it's nuts when people who do comedy do medicine also. That's so much to keep up with. Anyway, keep up with Jo on Twitter at CowboyPraxis and on Instagram at Cowboy.Praxis. On this episode of Pillow Fight, we talk about the latest trends in Twitter memes, theorize whether Mike Pence and Donald Trump are actually friends, and figure out an escape plan for when Jo's parents find out about her dirty little secret.
Fuck. Marry. Kill. Fuck, marry, kill.
I know you're a big Twitter guy, so I decided to go with a theme that was like commonly used jokes and meme tropes that have been going around this summer for the three options. So number one, just because it's fresh on my mind, is like all these quote tweets of Trump or like imitations of his tweets that he's posting while he has COVID. Like the like blank vote. So like people are doing like pee pee poo poo vote or like going well, I think. Thank you to all, love. And people are like posting something that's like not really going well. That's number one. Number two, last month, like August / September, there was like a picture of all those gay men with like one woman on an island. And the caption,
remember.
And the caption was, summer fun, private island, all tested negative multiple times, wear a mask.
It like was not, and did you see that somebody in the comments was like, I've been to this island, it's not private.
But everyone was like memeing it and using that caption on their own little pictures. Like, I did it with like a really horrifying sorority recruitment video, but I saw people do it with like Total Drama Island or like big Republican events where no one was wearing a mask and things like that. And it was like, people were doing it to like their own friends who are not social distancing. It was a thing for a moment. And then number three, our favorite girl boss villain, Sue Sylvester. She was making the rounds on the internet from like that still of her in Glee sitting in her tracksuit in a chair saying, I'm going to create an environment that is so toxic. And people were using it as a reaction photo or like editing the text to like say something else that they were gonna create or like something else someone else created. It's hard to describe memes vocally. It's very hard to do that. to recap, the three fuck, marry, kill options are like the Donald Trump satire, the gay island vacation, private island meme, and Sue Sylvester creating a toxic environment. What would you do?
Okay, I'm gonna immediately start it off. Fuck Sue Sylvester. that energy. Yeah, even right from the first days I watched Glee, I was immediately attracted to Sue Sylvester. There's just something to me about an angry lady in charge that is actually extremely, extremely sexy to
me. I agree with you.
Definitely fuck that. And then also, I just feel like, to me, that is just like such a classic. Wait, am I going to say, no, I'm still, okay, I might say marry the Sue Sylvester meme, because it has the sex appeal with the fact that it's an angry mean lady, but then it also to me just has this kind of like warm energy of just a classic internet meme. There's a picture, there's text, and then there are different ways to spin it with the editing the text. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. It's applicable to so many things, and I just love it. And then I guess fuck the guys, the boys hang private vacation. Because I think to me, fuck is like I enjoy it, but I kind of get the meme and I can move on, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of like, let's hook up, and that it's like hook, it's like let's hook up, but like I don't necessarily want that meme to be there when I wake up in the morning. I think that's why I was it was fun.
Yeah.
And then I feel like kill the Trump meme because I'm sorry. I don't know that this is a very hot take, but I feel that he shouldn't really get as much attention as he does.
Yeah.
You know, he's the president and all, and I know they're funny. It just seems like I feel like every time I see a meme that's made out of the most recent Trump tweet, I'm like, they're winning. Like, this is the kind of attention
yeah.
I want, just a little bit. So that's yeah. why I say feel that.
Yeah, that's fair. I respect that. I would also marry the Sue Sylvester memes. I think they're really versatile. Like, you can change them depending on like what you want to say. Like, they fit so many circumstances. And also, like,
so many
of those three memes, I think it's been the longest lived. I'm still seeing Sue Sylvester memes and I'm still liking them. I was never like, ugh, I'm tired of this meme.
And it's an old meme too. It's
yeah.
getting kind of timeless now.
Yeah. I think it's like going to become one of those like eternal reaction photos. Like yeah. that everything is cake meme. Oh my God. That I wanted to kill that like so badly. And I don't feel that way about the Sue Sylvester meme. I am pleased by it. Mary, it's the Sue Sylvester meme. Okay. I would personally fuck the Donald Trump satire just because I feel like it's the kind of thing where it's like, making a joke like that, at least as a producer of jokes like that mm-hmm. on Twitter, I know people are going to like them. And so it's like this like boost of like burst of serotonin. And I know I'm going to get like hit with something good.
Okay, but that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But then I look back on it and I'm like, that wasn't original. That wasn't creative. Like, I don't feel good about that. And I like have this like yeah. regret after. And that's like exactly what a fuck is, you know?
No, that's so real. And I feel like everyone deserves their Trump joke at some point. Like, yeah. I'm definitely not above it.
Mm-hmm. And we all like need to make a couple to survive in these it's times.
True. I love he's so funny. I love that one that was like, what was it? It was like, doing well, it's going well. Thank you all.
Thank you to all. Love.
Thank you to all. Love. Who's writing these? They're so funny.
They're like so deranged in a beautiful way. And that particular tweet, all the responses were really good. Yeah, I would fuck that. And then I would kill the gay island vacation thing because it's too much to marry. Too much is going on. I don't think I would be able to keep track of that.
There are a lot of men in that picture. A
lot of men. There's one woman who's just like confused.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fuck because I think there's definitely some STDs involved in that situation.
You're so right.
And I did get tired of that meme pretty fast. I've been trying to like explain Twitter to my dad lately. He
Dominique, do you want him to find you?
No, but because he knows I'm using it. And he has questions.
I think you should be prepared. I think he's going to find you very soon.
My mom found my TikTok, so I think like I am prepared for anything.
Okay, okay, okay.
I don't say anything mean about him on Twitter, so I think it's okay.
You don't say anything mean about him. You're just very vulnerable.
I am vulnerable. I think my parents like to believe that it's all a bit. Like, none of this is me.
Wait, but then do you feel like it's more real? Not to ask such a philosophical question, but...
I feel like I'm never lying, but
I can tell. Oh, but your parents think it's a character.
Oh, I think that they think that to make themselves feel good. Like, they like always watch my stand up. They're okay with it.
Oh, because they're because they're like separating it from their daughter. They don't acknowledge that it's you.
Yeah, they're just That's like genius. You just wrote some fiction and it's funny. I think that's what they believe. I don't know, because I think like my mom thought my first kiss happened like in the middle of college. So like I don't, that reality can't live with the like reality of me that is on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she what she believes, but that's there's some mental gymnastics going on in order to like logically put those people together.
I wish my parents could think like that more, because even when I'm doing something that is entirely fictional, my parents always think it's real. I remember like in high school, I would play these characters who like had like romances or like had or would like, I don't know, like gyrate their bodies or whatever. And my mom would drive me home after the play and be like, why? I'd be like, why are you acting like that? And I'd be like, it was in the script. Like, that wasn't me.
Every time you act, a little part of you becomes the person that you're playing. And so eventually none of you is left. You're just a character.
My mom really believes that. She really believes that.
Wait, I want to know more about, I know like your parents like didn't know that you did improv and then they found out. I want to know more about what happened when they found out.
Oh my goodness gracious. I had to downplay it so much. At school, I do improv, or I guess I was doing improv, what, like 12 to 15 hours a week? Like, mm-hmm. I was really, really...
It was a part-time job.
Really, as my part-time job. But then I was kind of outed because our college, like, brought out this article about my friend Leva, and then there's a picture of me doing improv. And so my parents were like, what is this? Like, improv's not serious. Like, you are going to medical school, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I remember that. I go sometimes. I mean, I was going to improv. Like, that's how I
just... like, you dropped in once
exactly.
a month.
Exactly. It's like something that I just dropped into here and there.
That's fair. What happens if you, like, blow up and they find you again? What's your next...
Yeah, move? You know, I...
Because you're on the verge of, like... of that.
As if. There's no way. I'm
Lin-Manuel Miranda follows you on Twitter. I checked.
Yeah, Lin-Manuel, any day you're ready to cast me, I will be in your cast. At this point, my thinking is I only have 2 years of college left. Like, I feel like there's only so long that you can be under the grip of your immigrant parents. Like, at some point, I feel like I just have to branch out. So I guess, like, yeah, I guess if they, like, find out my dirty secret that I'm an improviser before I graduate, I guess I'll just be like, yeah, this is me. And also, by the way, I'm taking a gap year. I haven't told them that yet. Something actually happened the other day where my mom, for some reason, followed me on Venmo, which was fake because she didn't Venmo me any money. So I don't know. Maybe she like got it to Venmo somebody else, but then she started following me. And on Breakout Room, we like raise money for things and it goes to my Venmo. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, she was like, why are you raising money for all these causes? Why are people Venmoing you? What is Breakout Room?
Venmo is like, has the secrets of life.
Venmo will literally expose you. It's so true.
It's like, nobody really cares about Venmo. It's whatever. Its user interface is bad. It's so glitchy, but it contains everybody's deepest, darkest secrets.
You're so right. Is there a way to make my profile private?
I think you can make all your encounters private. But I don't think you can make your profile private.
I kind of want some public, some private.
Yes, me too. There's some things that I want to show off. And I also, I used to love doing like weird captions in my Venmos.
Yeah,
requesting people with like really philosophical explanations of like what was going on. So
exactly.
If it was an Uber ride, I would be like, we took a gray Honda to the store and we sat next to each other. We enjoyed time. There was Bruno Mars playing.
Oh, that's cute.
But what happened was, I think it started to confuse people and I just wouldn't get payments back. Like people wouldn't confirm my payments because they thought I was like joking with them or something. They're like, they knew what it was. So now I have to just say Uber, like a loser.
That's fair. I love seeing people's Venmo transactions where it's like the inside joke of what happened.
But yeah.
They'll be Venmo and they'll be like, they'll be like silly cardigan. And I'm like, oh, like you guys had a crazy night.
It's like seeing like a group of people and they all do like some joke on this, some riff on the same thing, and you try to piece together what happened, you know? It's like the hot waiter, one person said, and the second one would be like, for your marriage to the waiter, and the third one would be like,
exactly,
like flirty waiter. We got free cotton candy because of the waiter.
I'm sure somebody's written like a scholarly article about how Venmo has changed our relations to money or whatever.
I was talking to someone that's like my parents' age about how our generation is like so obsessed with keeping tabs on how much money we spend and give, and how other people don't like to keep tabs like that. Like they just think of it as like, I did something for you, now you do something for me.
That's one reason that Venmo's hard to me, honestly.
Do you ever have like those people who just never accept your requests? Do you have those friends? Because I do, and it's like,
my actually rich friends.
Yeah. Yes. It is always the richest friends. It is always the richest friends who do not pay you back on Venmo. And it drives me nuts because you can only remind them once also. And then I literally will feel it eating at my actual relationship with them, because every time I see them after that, I'm like, you didn't pay back on Venmo, in the back of my head. And they're still sitting in my Venmo right now.
It's just a hard thing because I feel like we don't have a lot of like social etiquette about it, where like, I feel like sometimes people will ask like, can I Venmo request you? But oftentimes people just assume. And I feel like it gets so hard when, because I've Venmo requested people before and then they would be like, no. It's a hard situation to be in. Yeah. I just feel like sometimes it's assumed. I don't know.
Whatever. I feel like in the kind of situation where if you're like deciding between taking an Uber or public transit or something, in that case it's like someone's pushing hard for public transit and you decide to take an Uber, like then it's like, okay, maybe I'll like cover your slot because I really didn't want to take the free option. But like if you wanted to Uber as your first choice, I feel like you should be willing to.
I feel like I get really confused if you are like, hey, you're going to the store, can you buy me this? I feel like then it's assumed that you will Venmo for it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Right? Especially if you're getting no utility out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you are like sending somebody to get something for you,
you definitely should be paying them back.
I'd love to get it for you as a gift, but like I can't always do that.
Yeah. It's like if I will decide if it's a gift or not, but you should be like ready to pay me.
Right.
Do you prefer to be like the person who is requested or the person who is requesting?
Oh, I prefer to be the person requesting.
Me too.
I love having money in my Venmo balance.
Yes.
That is absolutely fake money that I can do whatever I please.
I was thinking about this as I was talking to you and I was like, I think that's like not the smart option, because the smart option is like to let someone else request you, because then you're not depending on anyone else following through on like their request or whatever. But like requesting to me, it's like, if I'm the one calling the Uber, I get like, I'm in charge of the Uber app. Like I know where we're going. I can add a stop to my apartment, whatever. If I'm paying the dinner bill, like I control how much tip is being paid. I like do this. Then I also get all the money in my Venmo and I just look at it and I'm like, I'm rich. And it's like, it's Monopoly money. That's what it is. And
it's so silly because once people pay you back, then it evens out. And it's like, you spent your like $5 or whatever. But having even $20 in my Venmo feels
amazing.
Yeah, I love the kind of friendships I have where and I think this is probably a friendship where we shouldn't use Venmo, because we consistently Venmo each other the same $10 back
over and over. Yeah.
Back and forth over and over and over.
Yeah. I was thinking about my roommates in college, and like, I want to see kind of how much on in aggregate, like we were sending to each other. Like I wish Venmo could like compile a report for me of like who had the net.
Oh, like what? Whoa.
Yeah.
That's actually so, so curious.
Yeah. Like Isabella and Taylor, like we shuffled so much of the same money back and forth to each other. I'm very like, very curious who was like paying for the most stuff, or like, if like how much money in total was being shuffled between us.
You're just so right. We need Venmo stats.
Yeah. Like we need like analytics.
Exactly. Analytics. Oh, wait. Okay. I'm curious what you think about this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in most friendships, it would be assumed that like you pay this time, I pay next time. Like you're kind of.
Yeah.
Do you think that if there's like a class difference in the friendship, do you think that the more wealthy friend should pay for more things?
I think yes, but not in like this very like cut and not in like there's like this rule way. I just think that it should be bound to happen, because like, see, I just don't get these rich people not paying back on Venmo. Like, I just don't get behavior like that. I think that like if you see like your friend like in a time of need or something, or like know that like they've been struggling or whatever, like, or like you can do something nice for them, like you should. But it's not like if you are X amount wealthier than your friend, you need to pay for X more things. Yeah. I think it's just like a natural kind of thing that can happen and like probably should, if you're being like maximally respectful of people.
Yeah, I like that term, maximally respectful. Yeah, I agree.
Like also in my last relationship that I was in, my ex loved to go to like
diving deep.
This is no shade at all.
Okay.
Loved to go to like very fancy restaurants and like foot the bill. And I always was like, I'll pay for some of this, I guess. But then I never ended up doing it. Like it was like a protest. Like a false,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if they were picking the restaurants, then that makes like, yeah. If they were always proposing these places, then
yeah, like, yeah. And I was like fine with it, but it felt very weird. And I was like, it's clear. It's like, this is your parents' money that you're spending on taking me to these very fancy restaurants. And yeah. I felt like we were just like children playing grown up and not. It's like, it was silly. It was very silly. And I was like, totally like that stuff, like that kind of stuff is like the kind of thing that I would love to do with my family, but I like don't really care to do with my peers at all. Like someone's birthday maybe, but like, I don't need to do that to like have fun at all. And I think
gonna ask, do you feel like those fancy restaurants made for better dates?
No.
Like you like have, yeah.
No, it's like,
was the food like particularly delicious?
The food was very good. Like I did eat very well during that relationship, but I think like I would have had honestly maybe a better time just like making dinner at home and having a conversation where there's not like noise everywhere and people listening and people intervening and like talking to us, you know?
Yeah
And like you can cook together and like that's like intimate.
Would you rather let's play a game of would you rather.
Have you seen the Naked Vote video?
Oh, no. Had the strippers in it?
No. So this came out this morning, so you may not have seen it because you were in class. So I'll be very happy to explain it to you.
Oh my gosh. Whoa.
So a bunch of celebrities, and I want to say it was like mostly comedians. I don't know if there were non-comedians in it. But like Sarah Silverman, Chris Rock, Tiffany Haddish, Chelsea Handler, Josh Gad, and others. Mm-hmm. They all got naked, like fully naked. Like on camera,
cheeks out.
Like if anything was showing, it was blurred out, but like they were all supposedly naked.
Okay.
And they talked to the camera about like random ways you could fuck up your mail-in ballot. It was definitely the kind of thing that could have been done in an Instagram infographic that they all shared, you know? Yeah. Like they did not need to get naked. Also, like like being naked was just so unrelated to the video. Like it was,
okay,
it was
why is the DNC so obsessed with, or like the Democratic Party so obsessed with comedians, and do Republican politicians also like use comedians in this way? Like I guess it's like,
I don't know,
but I'm just curious.
I think first of all the Democratic Party is much worse at self-marketing to their own audience, the way that like the Republicans are very good at knowing what their audience wants and giving it to
them.
You're
so right.
Democrats,
kids are so proud of being Republican.
Yeah, and the Democratic Party is like just doesn't know what their base wants at all, and they're like stuck 20 years in the past and they don't know how to move with the future, so they need to pull in outside support first of all. I think that like the idea of celebrity just appeals more to Democrats. First of all, comedians in particular, I think, have a hold on like political commentary. Like they host late night shows and they do like jokes about politics and stuff, and they're usually critical of government, which is of the government, not of government, which is like a tradition.
Okay, you need to be on a panel right now. Yeah, you're so right.
I've like talked about this a lot actually. I think comedians, especially now in a time where things seem bleak and we need like light, like comedy feels like the answer, and like political commentary feels like a way to like indulge in news without like hurting ourselves.
Right.
So I think that's why like comedy is seen as such a like light to talking about someone like Trump who is like evil.
Yeah.
I also think that they just like think that they're fun and cool, and you know, I think it was like mostly comedians who have talked about politics.
Yeah, no, I like what you're saying about comedians. I feel like they, especially these comedians you just listed, have a lot of persuasive power, since they really are people who, yeah, like joke at the expense of government.
Yeah, but that leads into my would you rather, which is would you rather be in a naked comedian's vote campaign or one of the celebrities who looked way too happy to be singing in Gal Gadot's Imagine video? Because I feel like this is Imagine 2.0.
This is Imagine 2.0. I'm going to definitely say Gal Gadot's Imagine video. The Imagine video was awful. It was so cringy, but I hate to be a leftist on the podcast, but I just, yeah, I think something to me just feels like a little bit like hollow about it. I am going to the polls in a way that's very much like that voting guy that comes out or has been coming out for the last few years that's like, girl, I guess. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm going really out of a sense of like obligation, and it was like really a hard decision for me to do that, and so I don't think I could ever be in front of the camera like, go vote for Joe Biden.
I saw a tweet today that was like me telling every liberal like how much I hate them and how much their policies suck and how much like they're tired their rhetoric is, while I phone bank telling people to vote for Joe Biden.
I saw that. I absolutely,
I was like, so true.
Okay, I should have DM'd that to you. That really made me think of you.
I retweeted it. I was just like, I've been phone banking for like Senate and like city council and like things like that in tighter
races. That's cool as hell. Okay, which would you rather?
This is a hard decision for me because it both sounds terrible.
They both. Good, would you rather? They both are painful.
I think I would be in the naked voter thing. Being an enthusiastic singer in Gal Gadot's video, like being really happy to do that, I think is like, I was like, when people did that, but these people in this video, like they all seem kind of like, I'm doing this naked video. Like, I'm naked.
Like, there's more, like, self-awareness about
it. I think they were just, like, they were kind of, like, it was clearly, like, someone paid them a lot of money to do this and, like, whatever. Uh-huh. It was less, like, I really think this is a great idea to be doing this.
So right. You're so, I wonder if anybody got paid for the Gal Gadot video. I kind of doubt it.
I don't think so. I think it's, like, she called up her friends.
I would sing my line in another language or something.
Yeah.
Really exotic.
Something.
Or like on a rooftop, something to really blow the people away.
Yeah, some people did not do with that opportunity all that they could have.
Some celebrities really revel in being like super casual.
They don't like to try too hard.
Yeah, because they want to keep their like allure of being like, oh, like I'm just chilling. Like, oh, you guys just love me because you do.
Yeah, not because I try to get you to love me.
Yeah.
Alas. But it's like, if you're a celebrity, you want people to love you. Like,
you want people to love you.
Yeah. You want people to love you. It's just be real.
Exactly. Or if you're like me, a wannabe celebrity, you also want
people to love you. Yes. We are in the same boat.
Yes. There.
Yes. I remember when we were there, we were playing a group game of Most Likely To, you and I, with our improv group.
First met?
No, I know. I think this was like last year.
Oh, I see.
And we were the two people most likely to become megastars.
Oh, I remember. Let it happen.
You and I will be doing our own Imagine videos together.
Oh my God, the kind of empire we will build.
Beautiful. Little tiny ethnic queens.
Ethnic girls are going to rule America soon.
Yeah.
No time at all.
The future is ethnic girls.
The future is ethnic. It really is. Are you second generation or third generation immigrant?
My parents grew up in India and moved here for grad school.
Aha. Uh-huh. Then you're second generation immigrant. I'm like first and a half / second.
Yeah.
I feel like second generation immigrant is the next wave.
Yeah. Our parents grinded so that we can kind of fuck around while we grind.
They really did. And they also, along the way, set up so many good jokes for us.
Yes.
To make fun of them.
Yes. I feel bad sometimes for making fun of them for certain things. Like, there's some things I'm like, I can make fun of you for this. Like, it's not, it's not like I'm not pandering to the racists. Some things I'm like, if I tell this joke, I am putting it in their mouths. Like, I'm giving them something, like,
I know what you mean.
To laugh at.
Do you feel like your jokes, when you make jokes about like race or ethnicity or nationality, do you feel like they are for a certain audience? Like, do you feel like they're for like a white audience or like an Indian audience or like what kind of?
I feel like they're not for a white audience, but I don't feel like they're just for an Indian audience.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like they're...
A mix?
Yeah, I feel like they're for an audience of, like, people who are, like, people who grew up with parents who didn't grow up here.
Yeah, me too.
So that could be white people too, but not...
I guess so.
Not like... Not like people whose parent, like whose family came in on the Mayflower.
Proud of immigrants, audience.
Yeah.
Me too.
A lot of people have, like, told me to do accents and stuff when I, like, do jokes at my parents, and I'm like, well, my parents, like, barely have accents.
Yeah.
You know, like, they've been in the U.S. for so long that, like, they've been in the U.S. longer than they live in India. Like, they have accents. It's subtle. It's like an intonation. It's not like.
And that's not what white people want.
They want me to talk like this, and that is not what my parents sound like.
Yeah.
And also, even if they did sound like that, like, that's icky.
I like, that's never the joke. I feel like immigrant parents, I guess mine, say hilarious things, and it's like what they are saying is funny. There's ultimately all that funny just about the fact of having an accent.
Yeah. Speaking of another child of immigrants, we're recording this is the day of the vice presidential debate between Kamala and Mike Pence. Mm-hmm. And I know they're putting up like plexiglass dividers because all of Mike Pence's besties have COVID right now. I don't think that he and Trump actually like each other. I've been thinking about this for a while. Think about it, because
I'm already convinced,
because Mike Pence is like, his evil views come out of like a deeply religious standpoint. Trump's views come out of like I want power and I want to control and I want to be rich and I want to be great, which is two, I think, things that don't like blend well together. Like, Pence has like not a good set but a set of morals, whereas like Trump's is coming from selfishness, I think. So
the Republican Party probably like put Pence on the ballot to like, I guess, to like appeal to the rest of the Republican Party, but also to like mellow him out, and maybe even like in the event that Trump were to not be fit to serve, like, I'm sure they would love to have Mike Pence as the president.
I think Pence is also someone they can control a little bit, but I've never like seen them together, so I don't really think they're friends.
I guess you're right. I think I was just assuming because Obama and Biden were
besties.
Well, supposedly. Yeah. That was like the meme that was going on. This like bromance.
Yeah. But I want to know if you would rather be the plexiglass divider between Kamala and Pence or the moderator at a debate between Biden and Trump.
Oh my God, the moderator for sure. Absolutely, I'd be the moderator. I would make them both look so dumb. I would absolutely crack jokes left and right. So much power. Being the moderator seems so fun. So you would also be the moderator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, just the things that you could tweet after that.
You're so, so right. Ugh. I'm almost nodding, basically.
I think some people would crumble under the stress of that, though.
No, I would actually be really stressed. It seems really scary.
It definitely seems scary, but I think it would be like fun scary. Yeah.
One time I had a big crush on this girl. And one day she just told me that she was a libertarian.
No. No.
And I tried to forget that she told me that.
No. That reminds me.
I really liked her and thought she was really cute.
That reminds me of, I saw this girl on Tinder who had one picture of her in a Hufflepuff t-shirt and then another picture of her like in the military, like she was fighting, like a soldier. No. And I was like, you can't be a Hufflepuff if you served in the military.
No, that's sick. She needs to go to rehab. She needs to be rehabilitated immediately.
Truth or dare? Okay, so Joe, truth or dare?
Truth.
Do you have your phone with you?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what the last 5 videos you watched on YouTube were?
Whoa. No, this is going to out me as actually so vain. They're all going to be makeup tutorials.
That's okay. Mine are makeup tutorials too, probably.
Oh my gosh.
Or like... Okay. Vlogs, yeah.
Let me find my history. Give me one sec. Okay, yes, they are all makeup videos. Okay, one is called Boy Beat and How I Drew Editorial Skin. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is called The Boy Beat Androgynous Makeup Tutorial. And then I have Fox Eye Lift Makeup Tutorial for Beginners. The O-Week show from my college, Improv Truth.
Uh-huh.
And then before that, it's this video from this page I really like called The School of Life. And the video is called 12 Signs You Might Be Suffering from PTSD.
This has a lot of range, these videos.
Thank you. I don't go on YouTube that often, so I just go to look up like very specific things on my mind. Yeah. I saw this really sexy and beautiful girl on Instagram. And then she was like, Boy B. And so I was like, I want to do my makeup like her. And so I was watching a bunch of tutorials to do that makeup look.
Who is she?
Just some random model. I don't even know her name. Is that possible? Oh. Yeah, I just like saw her in some shoot. I don't remember. But she is extremely beautiful. If you haven't been to the School of Life page on YouTube, I really, really recommend it. They have these videos that are like, okay, if the Call Her Daddy girls are bad relationship advice, School of Life has actually good relationship advice.
I feel like it's like Khan Academy of therapy. That's what it sounds like.
Perfect explanation. Khan Academy of therapy. Yeah, they're so good. I find them very comforting.
Yeah, I'll check them out for sure. I love to watch YouTube, so I'll definitely check them out.
Aha. What have you been watching on YouTube lately?
I watch a lot of like home decor videos and like DIY making home decor.
Ooh.
Cool.
Do you watch? Oh, I won't remember their channel name, but there are these two girls. I think they're Canadian.
The Sorry Girls?
The Sorry Girls.
I love the Sorry Girls.
Yes.
I love them so much. I've been watching them since I was like in high school.
I had a Sorry Girls face. I so did.
I just think it's like really baller to do like girly like building. Does that make sense?
Women Who Build, the end.
Yes. It's hot.
It actually is extremely hot.
Yeah, I felt like that when I hung a few paintings on my wall yesterday. And I just hammered some nails in and I felt...
Hammered nails. Yeah, that's it. That... Okay, I would love for you to come to my house because, yeah, I have this board that I'm trying to put up on the wall and I've given up.
It's hard.
Okay, Yamini, truth or dare?
I'll go for a truth first.
Okay. Can it be something about your crush? You don't have to say who your crush is, but what I want to know is what is the last text message that you sent to your crush if you have your phone on you?
Yeah. Wait.
Okay. Oh no, don't say it if it's too intimate. You don't?
No, it's not. To,
but I'm curious.
What's the last text I sent? Mm-hmm. It's a tweet.
Oh, okay. What's the tweet?
It's a tweet. It's a picture of like the news for the vice presidential debate. Like a, and so it's like says Pence and Harris, but they crossed out the C-E-H-A-R-R. So it just says penis. Oh. and I just sent that to my crush.
Nice.
That's not juicy at all. That's
that
the
is
last,
juicy.
That's
that
the
gives
last...
me information on your flirting strategy.
Yeah. Wait, I didn't know that you knew about my crush.
Yamini, you tweeted about your crush, and then he was in the comments. You absolutely exposed the
I don't know.
Okay, sorry. I'll forget I heard anything. I'll forget I saw anything.
I didn't know you were deep diving into it. I feel like sometimes like when I'm flirting on Twitter that no one can see it, you know?
I also feel like that. Yeah. I actually love flirting in the comment section.
Yeah. It's going really well, actually. Literally, I just saw his picture on my feed one day and I was like, okay, sexy person. Followed him. Like we had a lot of people.
Love story.
A lot of mutual people following like on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So then I followed him and he followed me back right away and he started reply guying to some of my stuff. And I was like, okay, at the least we're friends, right?
Yeah.
And then I DM'd him and then we're talking and then we like never stopped talking and now we FaceTime like every single day.
Whoa.
And it's been like a month of talking. I'm really happy. Yay, it sucks though because we're both in our family homes right now, so it's like, what are we gonna do?
Okay, we don't have to talk about it on pod time, but I would love to hear
more. We'll talk about it later.
Okay
Truth or dare, Joe?
I love truth so much. Okay, I'll do truth this round. One more truth, then I'll take a dare.
Okay. I want you to describe what you would say is the perfect butt.
This question is so hard because I like so many butts. I think that a variety of butts can...
I agree. Pretend you're like at Build-A-Bear and you're building a butt.
I'm building a butt.
What would you do? It doesn't mean other butts aren't great.
No. That's totally fair. To me, I like it when a butt is round. Mm-hmm. If from the back, I can see like a little bit of like, I guess kind of like a heart shape. Like I just love it when the butt really connects with the hips. When it melts into the hips in a beautiful, beautiful way. And then I think what I like is when each cheek is really defined. And so there's really that when the crack in the middle is really delineating left cheek from right cheek. And then what I have to say is that apart from that, what makes a butt good to me is probably the way that it, I guess Megan Thee Stallion said this. She said the way that thing move, it's a movie. Mm-hmm. I love the way, to me, a perfect butt is a butt that when the owner of the butt walks, it has just a little bounce, a little sway, nothing too crazy, nothing too crazy, just a little bop, bit a bop, bit a bop.
Yeah, I want all the podcast listeners to know that Joe taught me how to twerk.
I did.
You did.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually crazy because I don't really know how to twerk.
I'm still not pro level, but I practiced what you taught me.
That's big. I really want to take a twerking class.
Mm-hmm. I want to take a pole dancing class.
Oh, I so do too. I actually really love dancing.
Ever since I saw Hustlers and I saw J-Lo's back in that movie, I was like, I want to pole dance.
Pole dancing is really like an incredible art and an incredible sport. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what I actually really, really want to do? I want to fly trapeze.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Make It or Break It as a kid? I just like, when I watched that show, I really wanted to like do like gymnastics tricks all the time.
Okay, I'm remembering this show. I actually didn't watch this. I saw ads for it, but I never watched it.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow, it looks good. Did you ever watch Dance Moms?
I watched episodes of it, but I never like kept up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved Dance Moms.
What are your thoughts on JoJo Siwa and where she's headed?
My thoughts on JoJo Siwa are that I don't know if she is the mastermind behind it all. I don't know if it's her mother. I don't know if they have some kind of amazing agent, marketing, branding team.
Mm-hmm.
That girl must be a money maker. Like, I think that
is
just fascinating to me. The extent to which JoJo Siwa has like created herself as a brand
and
as such, like in such an intense way. I feel like I've like really like followed JoJo Siwa or whatever, just because I watched, she first appeared on TV on the show called Abby's Ultimate Dance Competition.
Mm-hmm.
And she was insufferable. I mean, maybe it's like that's what the producers wanted.
Yeah. She was
really, really, really annoying. And that gave me like a kind of disdain for her.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since she recently posted that picture where she was wearing like a like natural kind of beat makeup. And
yeah.
I'm happy for her.
I think she's going to have a Miley Cyrus like Can't Be Tamed moment and like just like become an adult.
Yeah. Truth or dare?
I'll do a dare.
A dare. Okay. What's your camera roll like? Do you have any like, is it like selfies, is it memes, is it screenshots?
It's a really a big mixed bag. I have all of that.
Okay. I dare you to post, I guess, like delete the name and like don't like skip it if it's like too embarrassing or whatever.
Yeah.
But I dare you to tweet a picture of like the last text conversation that you have screenshotted with no explanation and no caption. Just tweet the picture.
Okay. I have it. I'll flare out the names. It's actually also about my crush, but it's not.
Okay, I'm making you expose so much about your crush.
It's not with him. It's just about him.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So my friend got like caught in a tweet thread that we were both in, and he was commenting to me about it. Can I tweet, like, I'll just show it to you. Can I just tweet that part? Or do you want, like, the whole thing?
Yeah, you can just tweet that part. Okay. I want you to, like, paste the last line of it as the caption. So people will reply and engage. Also, if you're not comfortable with this, we don't...
No. I'm fine. You know how I live my life.
You really do.
Okay. Okay. Truth or dare, Joe?
Dare. Lay it on me.
I want you to go into your contacts and just like scroll until it stops. Mm-hmm. And then the first person on that list, like when it stops.
Yeah.
It can be like the first person that you like actually have a relationship with, and call them, put them on speakerphone, and dramatically like tell them why, like what you like about them. And then hang up. If they don't pick up, then you leave a voicemail.
Then leave a voicemail? Yeah. Okay. Will you tell me when to stop, or should I stop when I want to stop? This page is all Hannah's, and I don't know any of them. I'm so sorry to all these people named Hannah. Okay, I've got one. Should I tell you who it is?
Yeah.
It's Helena Thomas.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Call her.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Oh. Put it on speakerphone.
Okay, here we go. She's on speakerphone. Should I tell her I'm doing a dare, or should I just...
I think you should just do it first. You can tell her after if you want.
Okay.
Come on, pick up.
Hi, reach Helena Thomas. Message at the beep, and I'll call you back as soon as I can. Thanks. At the tone.
Okay, I'm gonna leave a voicemail.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, Helena. This is Joe. I just wanted to leave you a voicemail telling you why I like you, because I really quite do like you. I think that you have very like nuanced takes and opinions on things, and whenever I'm around you and I'm hearing you talk about how you think about the world, I feel like you are always bringing something fresh and always making me think of things in a new way. I think that you are extremely kind, and I think that you have a really cool way of listening to people and like bringing people into the conversation or the activity in a group setting. And you like, even when I've been around you in settings where like I didn't really know you at first, like you always made me feel really welcome, and I really like being around you. And then if I can say one more, I think that you take risks in a really cool way, and in a way that I've always admired from a distance, like when we've talked about a cappella, or when we've talked about like crushes and things like that. And of course your new blonde hair, which looks absolutely amazing. You are extremely hot and beautiful and smart and awesome. And I hope you're having a great night. Okay, bye-bye.
I don't think you should tell her that's a dare, because that was so sweet. That was so beautiful.
You gotta be mean if I'm like, ha-ha.
It was- No. It came from the heart.
I just like Helena. That's-
yeah, she's sweetie.
Okay, your turn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Truth or dare?
Because you said you like truth, so I'll do another truth for you.
Okay. What's the last time I'm asking about like lies for love, like when people ask you like, oh, like does my offer look okay, and like even if you disagree, like you might say yes. Mm-hmm. What's the last time that you lied, that you lied for love?
I know what it is.
Oh,
I feel bad about it, because I feel like they're gonna listen to this. No.
Oh, I'm sure they'll forgive you.
Okay, I'll be honest, because I think he knows that I was lying for him.
You lie.
It was also my crush.
This is a crush show, and I love.
I know. I'm like, oh. You're putting me on the spot here. But yeah, he tried to give himself a haircut and it did not turn out well. He had to then take it to the hairdresser to fix it.
It's so intense when your crush gets a haircut, because that can change
your
whole opinion of someone.
Yes. And like, I didn't like it, but it didn't like make me like not be attracted to him anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, you look great, like you still look great.
Aww.
But I didn't say like your hair looks good. I said you still look good, which
you look good.
True. But It was like, it was, you know, but recently it's getting better. And I did tell him yesterday, like, your hair looks much better now. And he was like, you were being so nice when it was bad. And I was like, I didn't want to be mean.
Aww.
I think he knows.
That's actually such a sweet lie for love. That's good.
I feel like you shouldn't tell someone. I feel like it's, it can, if you get a bad haircut, it's like, really, you feel really insecure about it. Like,
yeah.
I think you shouldn't knock someone when they're down, you know?
So, I feel like it's like the thing people say, like, criticize people for things they can fix right then, but like, yeah, if somebody has a bad haircut, then they're gonna be stuck with it for a while, so just be nice.
And I knew it.
I feel like he's like a cool person, that he would still be cool even with a bad haircut, so I think it's fine.
I think I might cut my hair soon, so I'll send you a picture.
Please.
I hope that you'll tell me the truth about whether you like it or not.
What are you going to do?
I want to shave it all off.
Whoa. I feel like you could rock that. I mean, you're you have a very good face, and I feel like that's what that requires.
Hey, thank you. You have a very good face.
Thank you so much. We do have two really good faces.
Sorry to the listeners of this podcast, you have no idea what I look like.
they can find out pretty easily.
You guys have no idea what this guy even looks like.
Joe isn't real. Joe is just like a little Michaela figure that's been like created by CGI. There is no Joe.
You're right. to record this, Yamini turned me on.
Press the button. Yep. I had to put you to charge for a bit before I could turn you on.
It's true. It's so true.
I used to do crazy things to my hair when I was younger, and at some point I just became a normie. Like, in middle school, I shaved the side of my head.
That's so cool.
It was really gay. Like, I don't know how people didn't know before I told them.
That's extremely gay.
Uh-huh. And
I feel like maybe when you're younger, you just have more liberty.
Yeah. And then in high school, I did, like, I dyed, like, the bottom half of my hair. I bleached it, and then I dyed it teal. So I had, like, half black hair, half teal hair. That was really fun. But the teal became, like, this witchy green at a certain point, which was kind of ugly.
Because of, like, shampoo?
Yeah. And then I took out the green and I dyed that part like light brown. So I had like half black, half brown hair.
That's
which was fun. Mm-hmm.
That's so all. That's
but at some point I just stopped doing that.
Yeah.
I think it was when I stopped straightening my hair so much, because I was like, I don't want to fry all my hair off.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, you want to have your texture.
Yeah. I'm feeling like, and I haven't gotten my hair cut in so long, but I'm looking like Hagrid now.
Or not.
Like, it's just so.
Hagrid is a sexy woman.
Listeners have no clue what I look like. They can never know.
They can never know. Podcasters are
invisible people in the real world.
Podcasters are invisible people. That's absolutely right.
Okay, well, I think it's time to wrap up, but I really appreciated having you with me. It was so much fun to chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
This
rock.
I wanted to know if there's anything you want to plug or like share. Ooh. As we go out.
I think maybe so. I would love to plug a Zoom comedy show that I host with my best friends, Ann Lynn and Leva Pierce. It's kind of like a variety show. We have all different kinds of acts, all different kinds of bits, focused on young comedians and comedians in college. And that is what I got. On Breakout Room, we raise money for like different causes that are relevant to the moment in this time of a pandemic. And then the other thing I want to plug is my little brother. His name is Buddy, and I love him a lot.
Shout out, Buddy. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for being on, Joe. And
Yamini, this was crazy fun. Yay. Bye, people. Bye-bye now.
Thanks so much for joining our pillow fight. See you next time. Pillow Fight is a production by me, Yamini Nambimadam, with music by Greer Baxter. Thanks for listening.
Follow Big Comedy on social media at I Love Big Comedy.